right, all right. Good evening, everybody. Early evening. T.O., Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman here, and my co-host is Raza Siddiqui. He could not be here today. He's enjoying the Labor Day weekend like I should be doing, but I'm here to host the show today. But we're going against the grain, as always, every Sunday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. on 820 a.m. Progressive Radio, 820 a.m. If you like what we're talking about, feel free to call in 773-763-9278. Today, what I plan to have is what you call a free fall. I plan to talk about a lot of different topics, so just call in and weigh in on what we're discussing here today. I want to thank all my people on Facebook, social media for checking out the show, the people on 820 a.m. Progressive Radio as well. I also want to say the views expressed on this show are not the views of 820 a.m. Progressive Radio. These are some of the views of the people that call in to my show, and maybe some of my views, okay? Some of my views as we take on these issues. So topic number one, as we move on here with the show today, topic number one. There was a case, everybody that's watching and listening, when a Chicago police lieutenant allegedly shoved a flashlight into the buttocks of a young guy that was arrested for carjacking somebody at gunpoint. The guy did not have his pants down. I guess the lieutenant kind of got a little besides himself. The lieutenant was arrested, and then he was, released, on bond or, I bond or whatever. But, it's a discussion. A lot of times people forget about the victims, and I just want to have this discussion about this particular incident, because two wrongs will never make a right. And I know the police are not always right. They're not always wrong. And the police, he should have been professional, and he should not have used a flashlight inappropriately on the young man, but the young man should not have carjacked nobody at gunpoint at the same time. Now, some people might differ with this here, but that's why we want to talk about it. And recently, there was a dispute with the Chicago Police Department, higher level, and members of the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, because they had arrested a suspect in the shooting death of the 7-year-old girl, Serenity Broughton, but the State's Attorney could not, press charges on the guy because I guess there was not enough evidence to charge the guy with murder. Okay. The police captain would override them. And then another police official sided with the Cook County State's Attorney. So there's a lot going on out here right now in the world of the concrete jungle and the civilian world. So I want you all to call in 773-763-9278. We're going to hit on Afghanistan just a little bit, and a little bit about COVID. We're not going to spend a lot of time on COVID. The only thing I can say to everybody listening today, make sure you wear 2 masks every day. Even if you are vaccinated, I would suggest, I'm not a doctor, I would suggest, not recommend, I would suggest that you wear a mask and make sure your kids and everybody are masked up as well. No questions asked, just wear your mask, okay? No questions asked. So, Brother Patan, that's the least that could have happened today. Carjacker, that's right, right on. And remember, everybody, homicides are still rising in Chicago. Carjackings have surpassed the numbers of last year already, and shootings are definitely on the rise. So my thing, I'm concerned about the violent crime in Chicago. People, you can see the tapes of people getting beat up all downtown, everybody. They beating up people downtown. You see the videotapes. Chicago is kind of going crazy in a lot of different areas. The gun violence and the physical violence is not just contained to the south and west side. People being beat up all over the place. So what more can be done? What are your thoughts about Lori Lightfoot and her administration? A lot is taking place under her, I wouldn't even say leadership or direction. I would just say a lot of things are taking place. I'm fair to say that, right? Can I get a witness? All right. So eat healthy foods, get plenty of vitamin D and water. Keep your hands clean, and when appropriate, wear a mask. My man, thank you so much. Winfrey Streets in the house, my brother there, and Alvin Norton. So let's take our, matter of fact, let's do this here. Let's take Mitchell on first. Let's go with Mitchell. And Mitchell, you're on the air with T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman, Raza Siddiqui, going against the grain here on Sunday, early Sunday evening.
How you doing there, Jill? Great to hear from you. First of all, regarding Afghanistan, you got to go back to Jimmy Carter's era when he was president, and you got to realize that George Bush was the CIA director from 76 to 77. Now, during the 1976 election between Ford and Carter, George Bush was actually giving intel to Jimmy Carter.
Slow up for a minute, Mitchell. You just slow up for 1 second. You just educated me, because I pretty much keep up with world history, especially United States history. So you're telling everybody here that George Bush Senior, right? Not Junior. George Bush Senior or Junior?
No, this is Ace. This is the CIA. He was a CIA director from 1976
okay.
to 1977.
Got it.
And he was basically giving intel to the during the actual general election. He was giving Jimmy Carter advanced knowledge. Same with Alan Dulles, the director of CIA, between Kennedy and Nixon. He was going to Kennedy and giving him insight, which is illegal. How do they know? Because the CIA knows he's going to win the election. They're not stupid. The bottom line is that what happened was, 3 years later, when Jimmy Carter was faced with basically the Russians that were in, you know, they had gone to Afghanistan, it was George H. Bush's technology, his intel, that had him set up his relationship with Bin Laden in 1980. They were the freedom fighters.
Okay.
And they fought out Russia.
Yeah, okay, they were the freedom fighters. I'm familiar with that history, right.
Okay, that was in 1980, because the Americans, through special ops and special forces, were working with Bin Laden to fight off the Russians. Okay? And
by the way,
Afghanistan has had one, there's two things about Afghanistan, just like Vietnam. It was fought over resources and the drugs. Okay? And what happens is over time, 25 years, 30 years, the region, the tribes, they change. They switch sides. So the CIA, and also people realize that the military, the army, the Navy intelligence, they have their own intel systems. They have to stay on top of it. So what happened was, you know, Biden was given orders by his commanders, and he basically screwed up, just like Jimmy Carter screwed up with the hostage situation in 1979 in Iraq.
So let me ask you this question. Over in Afghanistan, when you say the freedom fighters, they were fighting against the Soviet Union, am I right?
That is correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure we get our facts together here. So the freedom fighters in the United States had forged a relationship with the freedom fighters, including Bin Laden, when they were fighting the Soviet Union. But as time would move, as we remember during that day and time, what happened, things changed, am I right? Whereas the freedom fighters switched sides and started fighting against America. Is that correct?
That is correct. Chief, do you know why we went into Iraq? Okay, in 2003, which they call Saddam Hussein, okay, was giving away oil on the free market. Go back to what's going on, and guess who was running the country? It was Bush W, okay? And by the way, his family, Sapata Oil, they had a long history with banks and obviously oil.
And then Putin over, and one of my guys, Brother Al Norton, is saying that Putin was in the KGB from Russia back from 1975 to, is that correct, in 79? That's what he's saying, right. Osama bin Laden worked with the CIA.
Oh, yeah, of course he did.
Okay, got it. That's what my people saying, Patan, all my good people here.
The reason why we went into Iraq is because Saddam Hussein was giving away oil on the free market, which was impacting the law of supply and demand with oil prices. That's why Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Absolutely nothing.
Right. So you're saying Saddam Hussein was giving out free oil. That's what you're saying, Brother Mitchell?
Yeah, he was for free. And that was causing a big problem on what I call the daily trade rate of oil. And to your fact-minded audience, it's about the law of supply and demand. And unfortunately, when you have people like Steve from the Gold Coast has to call your show and other shows multiple times to tell how smart he is, you're looking at somebody who's an insecure narcissist that doesn't have any credits to his name.
All right, two questions.
Nobody on the Democratic...
Right. Two questions for you, Mitchell, here. This is a good conversation. Two questions for you. Check this out. What should we expect from Afghanistan moving forward since the United States has pulled out? And what really happened to Muammar Gaddafi over in Libya? And I did my research on Muammar. Don't get me wrong. Why did his people turn against him? Was there any USA involvement in that? And what do we expect from Afghanistan before we take on more callers? You got any thoughts about that, Mitchell?
Yeah, first down, Afghanistan's going to be destabilized. You're going to have what I call unintended consequences. We should have stayed there for multiple years until everybody was pulled out, and then that way they could have done it in a most, what I call, even fashion. Now you have what I call the unintended consequences is chaos. Number two, with regards to Gaddafi was a double dipper. Not only did he work with the CIA, he worked with every major intelligence agency across the country, in the world, with the Russians and anybody that had the highest dollar. The problem is that he got on the wrong side of the wrong, what I call, CIA director. and that cost him his life.
Wow.
The problem was that when Gaddafi was around, him and Saddam Hussein of Iraq, even though they were dictators, they were able to maintain some equilibrium in the Middle East. And when they so the CIA had advanced knowledge, they had tacit knowledge that Gaddafi was going to have a coup d'etat. And so those snappy-minded idiots of your listening audience, why don't you do some research and realize what that is? There was a coup d'etat, and when they knew right away where they stood, that that was their best plan of action, by taking out Gaddafi, so-called by the CIA, with their best need at the time.
Again,
I hope you have a great weekend. And by the way, Teal, I appreciate your ability to be a critical thinker.
Yes.
I can't stand the Democrats, the people that call your show, and complain because they never do their homework. Have a great weekend. I'll see you on the other side.
Now, I appreciate you, Brother Mitchell. Yes, indeed. That's Brother Mitchell. He educated us here today. Plus, I've done my research as well on these particular topics. And as we all know, there were no weapons of mass destruction found over in Iraq. So, you know, that story, that, you know, that's, you know, it's neither here or there. But the reality is that we've had some mishaps that have taken place. And none of us would really know all the facts when it came down to Osama bin Laden and all the different history with the CIA, the FBI and everybody. So I'm grateful to God for allowing me to do my research. And I have a lot of support on my social media that are also very well-learned individuals, intellectual thought leaders, and they provide me with information. Brother Tyrone Thomas Pata and all my good people, Brother Al and everybody out there. So let's do this now. Our phone lines are really, really off the charts. I mean that. Have about maybe 7 or 8 calls waiting to get in. So let's go with Jim first and then Roosevelt, Ron, and Steve and Dave, and we'll just keep it going. Brother Jim, you on the air? T.O. Miss Ceasefire Hardman going against the grain with my main man, Raza Siddiqui, my co-host. He's not here today.
Well, this is the fastest 1 hour in radio. I will say briefly, as far as the war, the Gulf War that ended in 1991, part of the terms of that was to have him have inspections give up his weapons of mass destruction because they were used. But then under Bill Clinton, because he was getting the Lewinsky's in the White House, all that kind of went away, and they actually took whatever they had out of there before.
Hey, Jim, help me out real quick, Jim, as we're talking about this. So as when we make comments, I just want to be clear, because I know the history just a little bit. So you're saying that Saddam Hussein had used some weapons of mass destruction, and he used those weapons against what country again?
Well, when he invaded Kuwait.
He invaded Kuwait, exactly.
That was what was part of the signing agreement for the peace agreement. 1990-91, whatever that was.
He used some type of chemical, though, some mustard gas or something, am I right?
There was some other stuff, I forgot exactly, but there
were
a lot of things, and that was part of the treaty. That was part of the reason why they stopped the war. But anyways, I wanted to kind of continue what we talked about last week. First of all, science. Oscar De La Hoya, fully vaccinated, gets COVID-19 and has to be hospitalized.
Exactly.
And Joe Rogan, not vaccinated, takes ivermectin, vitamins, and beats COVID in 48 hours. Test negative by the fourth day. Now, last week, after I spoke, people were saying, I'm getting my source Fox News. Well, first of all, Senator Ron Johnson had an interview and interviewed 6 or 7 doctors in Congress. You can see that. It's part of the record. And also, I'd like people to understand, for example, in 2015, a couple fellows named William Campbell and Satishu Uemura, a Japanese fellow, they won the Nobel Peace Prize for work with ivermectin, which is the overall group of which ivermectin is underneath. And these drugs have been shown to reduce parasites and things. It's been used in humans for a long time. This guy called up, said, it's only horse medicine. Well, that's horse caca because...
Jim, let me just say this to you out of all due respect, all right? I got another friend of mine on social media, Winfrey Street, is saying that global warming is a lie, too. We'll talk about that as well, because I have a lot of people waiting to get on the line here. But, Jim, I have to challenge you on some of these statements out here. Just like the USDA, when they pass these food inspections and they put, like, a stamp on your meat and they let you know that the meat has been inspected by the USDA or whatever the case may be, and it's edible. You know, you can eat the meat. It's safe. So what you're talking about, there's no scientific proof or no scientific evidence where we should use any of the products you're talking about, Jim. And I'm not taking nothing from you, but how can you justify it when, I mean, I know we got to go into science. Am I right, Jim?
Well, that's why these physicians testified, for example, before the Senate on what they did and what their experiences were. The problem is the cancel culture with, you know, Twitter and Facebook taking these people's videos down when they're trying to tell people there's a different way to do things. And Senator Rand Paul has been very correct talking about all the errors that Dr. Fauci has made and things like this. And also, as people should understand, for example, DDT was a very good drug for killing the mosquitoes that carry the malaria parasite. And because of junk science, and garbage, DDT, was actually banned in a lot of countries. And as a result, now there's 450,000 people that die each year in Africa because of the malaria virus.
But, Jim, I asked you this question before. I'm going to ask you again now, okay? Hear me clearly, Jim, because I appreciate you calling me. Have you taken any of the medicine that you're talking about, any other different solutions that you're talking about right now yourself?
Well, I do have hydroxychloroquine if I need it.
Okay.
And I'm going to get some ivermectin as well.
Okay, cool.
I have it on hand. I've given some to some people that got better. And a friend of mine is a physician. He prescribes a couple doses for folks, and they got better right away.
All right, good. So hang in there with me, Jim, because I got to say a lot of callers here. We're going to bring on Roosevelt. Then we go to Ron, Steve, Dave, and Bill, okay? So let's get Roosevelt on the line. You want to talk? What's going on, Roosevelt? We having hot topics today, all right? It's like it's a moving target today, brother Roosevelt. What you got?
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. This is straight for Jim. Then I'm going to deal with Arthur, alias Mitchell. You like numbers. Here's a number for you, Theo.
Okay.
And I'm going to read it right from the newspaper.
Okay.
Over 10,000 students in the state of Florida, school district isolated or quarantined in a week into school year. In the first week, 10,000, Theo.
Wow.
Okay.
I saw that number. Yeah. I looked at it in the news recently, yes.
Go ahead. Okay, now, did you notice the last question you asked him if he had taken? He did not answer the question. He danced around. Here's another question for Jim. Does he wear a mask, and has he been vaccinated? And if he has been vaccinated, under whose recommendations has he been vaccinated, and what kind of vaccine? Or is he taking a horse paste or cow paste or whatever? Now, let me jump into Afghanistan and Iraq. The thing is, you got to challenge the guys like so-called Mitchell, because he always points the finger at the Democrats. But if you remember correctly, Osama bin Laden's family was in cahoots with the Bush family. Proof? Here's some proof. The people that hit the Twin Towers, which is going to be our 20th anniversary coming up in
September 11th. I never forget it. That's right.
Right. 21 out of the 24 guys were from Saudi Arabia. Who's Saudi Arabia? Petrol. Oil business. Bush family. Petrol. Oil business.
What's the name of that? Halliburton. That's the company former Vice President Cheney had, right?
That's the other guy. That's Cheney.
Right, Cheney, right.
Okay, now let me go
back. Doing the Condoleezza Rice and my man Powell, right?
Let me connect the dots. You could actually see photos of George Bush Jr. holding hands and kissing the Saudis. They've been in cahoots, the Bush family and the Saudis, for decades, more than four decades. Okay? When the Twin Towers went down, he didn't look for Osama bin Laden because those families knew each other. If you remember correctly, Theo, 3 days went by. Three airplanes left the United States. George Bush Jr. stopped all flights. He canceled all flights except Osama bin Laden's brother, which was here. And all of them left without nobody investigating them. Why? Because there's a connection between the Bush family and the Osama bin Laden family and the Saudis. It's all connected.
Yeah, there's a direct connection, without a doubt.
Go ahead.
I'm saying, definitely. I'm listening.
So when Iraq went down, they went in there and they disturbed. I know the guy was a dictator. I know he was chopping heads and being cruel to his people. But that became a haven for the terrorists. It went up for grabs, if you remember correctly. And there was no weapons of mass destruction, not one single one.
Exactly.
And if you remember, and one more thing, they had a general there, Colin Powell.
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
Which now he's not even a Republican, because they put him up to being in front of the cameras to say that there were chemicals to make the weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, I can recall. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Remember, we went up against the blackboard in front of the United Nations. So when Mitchell says that, it's all garbage.
All right. Thanks a lot, brother. Roosevelt, appreciate you. Before we take a few more calls, we got about 7 more people waiting online. And I want to just put this out there just for myself. This is more like a man's man type of comment. My thing is, with Saddam Hussein or whoever the case may be, if you've been involved with taking lives of people and you've been involved with some real crazy behavior, I'm not saying he was, I don't really know, but if you were involved, then whenever the punishment comes back your way, don't go run and hide in a hole. Step up to the plate like a grown man and deal with whatever you got coming your way. That's the reason I say, when people carjack people out here pulling guns on people, you know already when you made that decision what comes along with that. So don't get mad because somebody pretty much stepped to you a certain way. If you know, if I make my mind up to go out here and try to hurt somebody and I get hurt in the process, don't have no sympathy for me. I put on them combat boots, them big boy shoes, and I have to deal with that. That's the point I'm trying to get out there. Nobody thinks about the victims of crime out here a lot of times. And I'm not saying what the police did was right when he stuck the flashlight, you know, between the guy's buttocks. The police was dead wrong, but the guy was dead wrong too for carjacking somebody at gunpoint. That's a topic that I brought up as well, and I'm just putting it out there the way it is. The police should always be professional and respect the law, do their job, what they were trained to do. So that's very important. So we'll take a quick commercial break, then we'll come right back. So everybody hang on the line, we'll come right back. It's getting heated in here. Right on.
Megan Financial is an independent retirement and financial services firm dedicated to the working men and women of organized labor. Megan provides straightforward, custom-fit financial advice and specializes in defined benefit and defined contribution pension plans, as well as participant and retiree health and welfare benefits. Megan Financial has the knowledge and experience to navigate the union member through all phases of life. Call 708-444-1090.
Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, a broker-dealer and registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Office location at 5321 South 94th Avenue, Orland Park, Illinois, 60462.
33 Realty is a fully integrated real estate services firm specializing in investment brokerage, property management, leasing, distressed real estate services, and construction services via its sister company, Cubed Construction, for a variety of asset classes across the multifamily and commercial real estate sectors. 33 Realty provides full-service solutions to complex real estate assignments with industry-leading staff invested in the process. For more information, please visit 33realty.com. 33 Realty, your foundation for real estate success.
Right, we're back, everybody, going against the grain with T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman, Raza Siddiqui. He's my co-host, okay? So what we're talking about today, like I said, is a hot topic. It's a moving target as well. We're taking on a lot of, topics today. So with that being said, let's bring Brother Steve on from the Gold Coast. Then we'll go to my man Ryan right after Steve, then Dave, Bill. We'll just get everybody on to the best of our ability. Steve, what you got?
Well, it's always nice to hear, you know, Mitchell rant and rave from the previous weekend.
Yeah. The reason he was attacking poor Jim, I thought he and Jim were on the same page on this issue. But, there's a degree of insecurity that comes with some people, that anyone who disagrees with them must therefore be attacked. And not based on any sort of scholarship, research, or any part of a sound argument, but, you know, they just don't like that other person, so therefore, you know, God forbid they should voice an opinion. So Mitchell hates everyone who calls into this show who calls him out for his ignorance. You know, Mitchell claimed that Joe Biden would never get to 270 electoral votes and win the presidency. He got over 300. Mitchell ranted and raved for a year on this channel, to various broadcasts and so forth, telling everyone how he knew it all and how Trump was going to dominate the electoral process and so forth. As we know, it didn't turn out that way. But it should tell you something about Mitchell's background and capacity to understand the world around him.
Hmm.
Now, having said that,
well, Steve, let me just say this to you quickly, Brother Steve. Today, Mitchell did pretty good educating us a little bit more about, you know, Afghanistan, the history of, you know, the CIA's involvement with the Bush family.
Okay,
you know.
And that's all. And that's
comment, and that's common knowledge by and large. The point that he wanted to make with regard to one of the central arguments, this notion that Saddam Hussein was selling oil on the black market, and that was the motivating factor that led us into Iraq, is absurd.
So that's not correct information, Steve?
No, that's utter nonsense. It was the amount of trade in illicit oil that was going on during this period was small relative to the global market.
Okay.
There are a number of reasons as to why we went into Iraq. That was not one of them. No one in any credible circles believes that. But again, we would ask that the world simply do their research. Look to the various intellectual organizations, universities, think tanks, all the people who do this for a living, and then ask yourself what they've said versus what Mitchell has said.
Because one of my guys
has admitted that he has no scholarly background.
And one of my guys on my social media, his name is Jerry Mander, he said Mitchell is a drummer in a cover band. Now, that's what he said. Mitchell's a drummer. I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't even know what a cover band is myself. So,
I don't know what he is either, but according to him, he apparently used to be in pharmaceutical sales. What in heaven's name that has to do with public policy and foreign policy? I have no idea.
I got you. Now, Mitchell's a good guy, man. I appreciate it.
The reason I called in was to actually address the issue of crime that you had raised.
Yes.
Because I do think that we are in a conundrum in Chicago, because on the one hand, there was this desire, especially last summer, to see reform in terms of law enforcement, because certain communities see themselves as being treated differently than others when it comes to policing. But now we are in a different paradigm. The whole notion of police reform has given way to the concern about crime that's rampant in Chicago. And as you pointed out, it's especially problematic downtown, in a way that it wasn't before. Downtown has never been like Inglewood or the West Side. Now, we all know that. But the difference being that when people fly in and drive in to spend their money to eat at a five-star restaurant and stay in a five-star hotel and go shopping at the high-end stores, they expect they're not going to be attacked on the street. They're not going to be carjacked. They're not going to be shot. They didn't worry about that because they weren't flying in to go to Inglewood.
Without a doubt.
They were coming in here to go to River North and the Gold Coast, my community, and so forth. And we were bringing in 50 million visitors to Chicago in 2019 and in the previous years. If those people stop coming because they are fearful of the crime, and many are, then what happens to the businesses that rely on that tourism, those dollars?
I was just on Rush Street last week at the Tavern on Rush, brother Steve, and I really enjoyed myself, you know, sitting outside, outdoor dining over there at the Tavern on Rush.
Oh, yes. You're kitty corner across from Carmine's. You're right over there. You're right next to Carmine's. You're across from Gibson's.
Gibson's Steakhouse, exactly. Yeah.
That area.
All right.
Exactly. And people. So I certainly do agree that police need oversight. But right now, if you ask the average Chicagoan, and we've already done that through surveys, what do you consider most important? Right now, Chicagoans are telling us more police, get them out there doing their job, putting away the bad guys, because right now the bad guys don't fear the police.
Okay, Brother Steve, I want to thank you for your call, okay? As always, let's bring Brother Dave, then Ron, because Dave's been holding for about 20 minutes. Brother Dave, how you doing there? Hoffman Estates.
Hey, how you doing there?
Doing pretty good, Dave.
A couple of things I'll try to get in real quick. On that thing about the cops and the flashlight.
Yeah, I brought that up today. We talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, doesn't that sound eerily similar to back in 1997 with the New York cops did to Abner Louima?
Yeah, they brutalized the brother from out of New York. That was a little different because they basically just totally violated that brother out of New York. You know the history. There's about, I think, three or four cops involved in that. They actually roughed him up with some type of, I don't know what they had.
But they,
right. A mob panel or something. Yeah, they were really, really foul all the way.
Yeah, totally, yeah. And they talk about, like, with this Afghanistan with four presidents, actually five if you count in that Bill Clinton could have got him in 1998 at a wedding, remember?
Oh, without a doubt.
He said, we got him. He didn't want to do it because he was afraid of collateral damage, some others getting killed.
Yeah.
So we could have missed all of the stuff. And then I'm talking about Saddam. He used the gas on the Kurds back in 1988. We didn't do nothing. That time.
Yeah, I can recall. Do you remember this here, Dave, when George Bush Jr. was at somewhere at a press conference and somebody, they threw a shoe at him. Do you recall that incident?
Yeah, that reporter.
Yeah, the reporter threw a shoe at old Bush.
I believe in Iraq. Iraq. I thought he did a double shot on him. He went both shoes.
That's right. That was a bunch of BS going on back then, because I'm looking back on the Saddam Hussein, you know, years, and there were no weapons, like, say, of mass destruction found. And then the United States and all the high-level governments, they have a lot of spy, you know, software. They know what to look for. They have drones. And if you're trying to pile up what they call it, patrol, what's that chemical that goes in the nuclear plants? What is it? It's not petroleum. We know what petroleum is. What is it? It's
plutonium?
Plutonium, right. That's right. Thank you, brother. Yeah, plutonium. They can detect if you're trying to store plutonium, you know, and they couldn't find nothing over in Iraq. Nothing. Zero.
And on some of them choppers and some of them planes, they got sniffers, actually. But
right.
They pick it up even. And,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So it's go ahead, Dave.
Hijackers, you know, with track matter, hijackers, there was actually 19, and of the 19, 15 were Saudi.
Yes, you know, Saudi Arabian, right.
Facts.
But,
and I'll clear you up with, when you talk about the Florida and all this stuff with, you know, these people. Well, we got a friend, he's a retired friend that drives bus to school, and he says the people down there are dropping like flies, he said, and he said that right now they got, if you had COVID, you can get in the shot and all of this, you can get paid under the plan, whatever.
Okay.
However, people that have refused the shot, they don't get paid.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I said, well, that's fine. I said, that's fine. That's less Republicans. He goes, yeah, but he says, the bad part about this, he says these morons go back to work and then they infect everybody else around them, then, you know, and,
Well, you know, what happened, Sid, old Dave, and I did receive your letters, Dave. Thanks a lot. I received your letters right here. Appreciate you. And a lot of people, like one of my guys, are saying we don't need more police. We need more career opportunities for young people here in Chicago, which I understand both sides of the argument. So that's important. More as a matter of fact, one of my sponsors is the Associated Builders and Contractors of Illinois in the Community Builders Program. They train a lot of young people in the arts. In the field of construction work, and they're doing a good job. They have a pretty high graduation rate with young people. So it's a lot to be done out here, Dave, a whole lot. That's the Associated Builders and Contractors of Illinois and the Community Builders Program.
Yeah. Hey, Theo, for COVID now, you know, a lot of the people, they like you and they want you to get more time. Well, why don't they do like what I've done, have the guts and write Matt Cummings to give you more time?
Okay, I appreciate you, Dave, always. Appreciate your
call.
Right,
be well, man. Be well.
Peace and blessings to you. All right. For those who are listening, this show is titled Against the Grain, T.O. Hardiman and Raza Siddiqui. That's T.O., Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman. And Shar, I got your message. Shar, if you can write this number down, give me a call after 4 o'clock today. Shar, if you can, at 773-391-9072. This is for Shar, 773-391-9072. 9072. You can give me a call after 4, okay, if you have an opportunity. Thank you. So we'll get back to the calls right now. Let's go. Ron has been holding on for over 20 minutes along with Bill. Then we'll get to Carlise after that. Brother Ron, what you got?
Gio, I got to tell you the story. 1963, Logan Square, that's where we live in, and it was a hot August dawn, all right? And I always got up early. I was looking out the front window, and you hear sirens screaming, and a car couldn't negotiate the turn on Palmer and Kedzie, and it crashed into a tree in a little park in front of the house, and the cops were right on their tail, and it was two teenagers, and they were, like, knocked down, and the cops were pounding on them with the billy clubs. It was like you could hear chopping wood from the second floor, and my old man looked out the window. He hollered, "Quit beating those kids up," and the cop yelled back, "Shut up, or I'll come up there and beat you up."
Okay.
Shut up. But 2 weeks later, my old man's car was stolen. Cops didn't, they caught the robber, but they shot his junk off in the process, all right?
Okay.
That was a long time ago. But getting to the point I wanted to talk about, President Joe Biden, at the service for the fallen soldiers, and he was accused of looking at his watch. And
I saw that.
There's claims that he had his dead son's rosary beads wrapped around his wrist, and that he was praying on those beads. Yeah, are Are we absolutely sure he was looking at his watch and not his prayer beads? Can you tell me that for sure?
I know. I can't tell you for sure because I never really paid a lot of attention to that particular story. But I will say this much. President Biden, it's just these are not the views of the radio show at 820 a.m. Progressive Radio. I truly believe that Biden could have made a better decision before he pulled all the troops out of Afghanistan, because the 13 soldiers that lost their lives, I believe that their lives, that incident could have been prevented if he had not just, he should have just pulled everybody out and then get all the United States people out of there, whoever wanted to come out of there, because that's, we lost 13 soldiers, and we haven't lost that many soldiers over there in Afghanistan in quite some time. So that the death of them soldiers are definitely based on a decision he made. And trust me, one of them young guys, one of the brothers had just had a newborn baby, you know, and they were all young people. Young people lost their lives due to a bombing. So I don't know if he was looking at his watch, but if he was, he was wrong for that. But if you say he's looking at the rosary as far as his son, I give it to him. Okay, I mean, I'm not here to criticize Biden, but when you're in leadership, that's why they vet people out. You have to be able to make a sound decision and the best decision for the people that you serve.
Yes, you're right, Teal. But he made a decision to pull those troops out. That should have been done a long time ago. Several presidents back. We never should have been there, like the man said, in 1979. That's when we started. And the theme was, we wanted to destabilize the Soviet Union. And we did do that. But what happened in the process, now we have to take care of all those basket cases, like, what is it, Nazi Hungary, fascist Poland, all the Balkan states, Montenegro, they built a highway to nowhere for $1 billion from the Chinese. That money came from the European Union and the United States. So now we got stuck with all them basket cases. So we're real smart, you know, real smart. But, Teal, you got a great show, man.
Appreciate you, Brother Ron. Appreciate you. Everybody calling in, I want to thank you. And what's good about the show today, we can see that we have a lot of world thought leaders calling in. We speak on a higher level, world history and everything. We went from Saddam Hussein, Muammar Gaddafi, Osama bin Laden, Mao Zedong, you know, Fidel Castro, Stalin. We can talk about everybody, even in world history, Napoleon, Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great. Give me a call. I study history. That's what I do. I'm a history buff. So let's talk about it today. So let's bring Brother Brian on. Let's bring Brian on. George Floyd and police reform bill. What's going on, Brian?
Hi, Teal. How are you?
I'm doing good. Feeling good today.
Fine, thank you. Well, I just have a question and a brief comment. I want to ask first, whatever happened to the George Floyd Police Reform Act? And I think at least there should be a nationwide law for police to have body cams so that people can see if they're doing the right thing or if they're doing a criminal action like that evil Chauvin who murdered and tortured a man to death.
Yes, indeed. That was rough. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. I believe that President Biden, once again, you know, from what I'm hearing is that he's really serious about criminal justice reform. And I don't see that being far-fetched. That should be a reality soon, where body cameras would be mandated by the federal government for all police officials throughout the United States. OK, Brother Brian, I believe that's going to happen.
Well, that's great. That's a necessary thing to have happen. And thank you so much for taking my call and having your show. You do a great job, man.
Appreciate you, bro. I mean that from my heart. I appreciate you. All right, Brother Brian. So with that being said, also, we got a couple more callers. I want to say this. There's a young man named Elijah McClain. I want everybody to remember his name. You can look up his case. The police in Aurora, Colorado, they killed this young man. This young man had no run-ins with the law ever in his life. Never had a run-in, in other words. And they found out that the paramedics actually injected something in his system that accelerated his death. And this young guy was just, he was to himself. He wasn't one of them guys that was so outgoing. He kept begging for his life, and he was saying to the police he had not done anything. And it's just a hard-wrenching story, man. And he just got justice. They just indicted the police officers and the paramedics for injecting whatever substance, foreign substance they injected in his bloodstream that accelerated his death, like I said. So let's keep it rolling. Let's go with Bill from the north side, then we'll get to Carlise. Brother Bill, abortion bill. You want to talk about the abortion bill?
Brother Teal, first of all, let me say it is such a treat to hear you on a Sunday. You've actually been on my radio show, Playtime with Bill Turk and Carrie Kendall.
Oh, without a doubt. You know you my man, Bill. That's right.
You are, brother, and so I'm always doing the show on Sundays. It's such a treat to hear you. You sound terrific.
You're doing the best I can to hold it down.
You're rocking it, man. So this is what I wanted to talk about. I actually reached out to Kelly Cassidy, my state representative here in the 14th district, right after the abortion bill was passed in Texas. And as we all know, that's kind of a snitch law, in which they sidestep constitutional issues, at least for the moment, by empowering the citizens to snitch on women who have had an abortion, or people who are facilitating or supporting or aiding in a woman getting an abortion, including an Uber driver and what have you. And there's an automatic reward aspect to that, a financial reward that the state pays to people for snitching on expectant mothers and the people who help them, right?
Okay.
So what goes around comes around, and I reached out to Kelly Cassidy with this proposal. That we enact the same thing here in the state of Illinois for gun crimes, gun trafficking, illegal gun activity, even concealed carry, if they want to play that game, and the other side of that coin would be, at least in the short term, would be a financial incentive for citizens to turn in illegal gun users and the people who protect them. And so I guess I want your thoughts on the viability of something like that to address the gun issue. And I've called it the Safe Illinois issue. It would also work for the anti-vax crowd as well, like your friend Mitchell there. I'd love your thoughts on what you think about that, because you're so active and so impassioned, and you've put yourself on the front lines of trying to head off, along with our brother Giuseppe Nueva, from Chi City Cypher. You guys have put yourself out there on the front lines to try to head off gun violence.
Yeah, I got to reach out to my main man from Chi City Cypher. That's my guy there. And Bill, I want to thank you for your continued support. And also, whatever could make a city or the United States safer, I'm always in favor of that. I'm still Mr. Ceasefire. But I have to be honest, Brother Bill, and as I study this issue, see, there's no evidence that dictates that legal gun owners are part of the gun violence problem. Now, you have some legal gun owners that cross the line every now and then. We have to work harder to intercept the illegal gun traffic. That's where the real problem is coming in at, because, you got young guys out here, they have access to these highly, highly sophisticated weapons. I don't even know how they're getting these type of securing these type of weapons, Bill, because I'm out here on the streets working with people. I had a friend of mine, he said somebody pointed a laser beam on his forehead. He was just emptying his garbage. They didn't shoot him, of course, but he said they were looking for somebody else, but the laser was in his forehead. And those guns, they don't miss once that laser gets spotted on you.
So, well, the wording of this proposal would also include entities outside the state that knowingly facilitate the transfer of weapons to third party straw purchases that end up being used in crimes.
Okay. All right. Well, so, I thank you, Bill,
I'm trying to get some momentum for this. So I guess I'm throwing out the question to you and to your listeners of what they think about this bill. Really sort of the aspect of or the clincher for this bill would be to fire a shot across the bow of states like Texas, where anybody can carry a gun anywhere at any time.
Like Wisconsin is open carry. Wisconsin's open carry along with Texas. I know. Yeah. You know what I plan to do, Bill? I plan to reach out to you so I can learn more information about the bill. Then we'll take this subject on as a 1-hour topic so I can get a lot of people's thoughts on it.
Sounds good, brother. Thank you so much.
Okay, appreciate you, brother Bill. That's my main man, Bill. Appreciate you always. So let's go to Carlisa. She couldn't hang on there too long. Okay, let's go to Eduardo right now. So coming right up with Carlisa. Maybe he or she'll call back. So Eduardo from Northwest Side of Chicago, Mayor Lloyd Lightfoot. What you got with Mayor Lloyd Lightfoot, Eduardo?
Well, I think something she really needs to consider is having the National Guard. You know, I was just down in the border over the weekend in El Paso, and this illegal thing is pretty big. And then these people are bringing the COVID over.
A lot of people are infected with COVID-19 coming across the border. That's what you're saying?
Right. My friend who lives in El Paso saying, lift your mask up just because you're outside doesn't mean you're not going to catch COVID, because these people are, you know, crossing the El Paso border, you know.
No doubt at all.
Bringing all that stuff over here.
Okay. Well, you know, as far as the National Guard, I don't have a real, a point of view. I believe, you know, I said this before, and I'll go on the record and say it again, Brother Water. I don't know how you feel about it, but something close to the National Guard, what I was thinking about having a black army in Chicago, not to go out and kill people, let me make that clear, but an army of black men to show some tough love and bring them guys to the table of peace by any means necessary, which means that you're going to need some real, real strong security-minded type of brothers to go out there and reclaim these young people out here. Even in the Latino community, you need some Latino men to do the same thing, brother.
Have like a community organization, like the Guardian Angels, like a community version of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Bring them to the table of peace by any means necessary if you really want to stop the killing. Now, far as Mayor Lloyd Lightfoot, I'll just be straight up. I was told by my parents, if you don't have nothing good to say, don't say nothing sometime, right? So I don't have much to say about Lloyd Lightfoot.
Can I make one more point before I leave?
Yeah, go ahead.
And this is about the vice president. I think this is a legit. Here's a lady who's from California. She doesn't speak Spanish, but you got the mayor and our little, and then our doctor here who's from Africa. She speaks Spanish. And according to the Secret Service, this lady does not work on the weekend.
You talking about the
in charge for number two.
Okay. Okay. But I don't know. You're saying that the vice president does not work on the weekends?
Yeah, this is according to a source in the Secret Service.
You haven't heard that yet. We'll get to that soon, Eduardo, but I want to thank you for your call. Okay, brother, we'll take a look at that. Okay, good stuff. So let's bring Brother Tommy on. He wants to say hello. Yeah, Brother Tommy, how you doing, young man?
I'm great, Gil. Always great to hear your voice. And I'd like to respond by saying, who gives a damn whether the vice president works on the weekend? Hell, I'd like not to be able to work on the weekend. So,
all right,
hell,
Tommy.
I just want to ask her how you do that.
Yes, that's indeed. All. Understood.
That's where I'm at. And more importantly than that, it would make a difference. It doesn't seem like it makes a difference about police wearing body cameras or anything else, because we got too much evidence from body cameras and people walk. It seems to me that any sort of criminal justice revise, and if none of those two things I said make sense to you, then that's how you make sense out of the criminal justice system. Because the way I understood it was, if you do something criminal, you pay the cost for doing the crime, period. Now, anytime some officers can stop a person and say, hey, we're stopping you because you look suspicious, and then the paramedics show up and shoot him with some drugs, and we got to go back and forth and wait 2 years now after the fact to come up with what is it that you're going to do with this. I wish that we could just bridge one simple gap, Tito, and I want you to respond to this. And that would be, when I listen to the 9/11, when I listen to police officers, they refer to themselves as brothers. They refer to the paramedics and the firefighters as brothers. And then they say, oh, by the way, we serve and protect the people. Well, if that be the truth, then why in hell do we have to keep going round and round with illegal activity?
No, I appreciate that.
I love you, man.
All right, brother. So love and respect, Tommy. So my response would be, you know, we need an overhaul in every area out here. The police department, the community. Like I always say, two wrongs will never make a right. We have so much gun violence in Chicago that we never get a breather. Every weekend, 7 or 8 people killed, 50, 60 people shot. Carjackings are on the rise. The police department will not even post the recent, the up-to-date numbers because the numbers have surpassed the number of carjackings from last year. And before I get out of here today, Brother Jim and Roosevelt, I want to say this to you guys out of all due respect. We may have to just dedicate 1 hour to Jim and Roosevelt because it's hard to get you guys back on our channels. We had quite a few callers today, but I want to thank you for your calls and everything. But for the record, everybody, if you're a grown man or if you're a police officer, let me say this, if you're a grown man first, if you're a grown man and you decide to pick up a gun and go out there and hurt somebody, then that means you accept whatever comes your way. So don't go crying foul once you cross that particular line. If you're out there running the street life, you want to be a gangster, you're living a gangster life, you know what comes along with that. Even if the police step to you, you know that's part of what you signed up for. Now, if you're a police officer, you must remain professional at all times. I know it's hard because people become emotional. I couldn't be a police officer because if I was to arrest somebody that just killed a 7-year-old or a 6-year-old and I know they killed that person, I can't say what I want to say. You know what I mean? But it would be hard to be a police officer to just make the arrest and then turn the guy over to the station or whatever. That's just being straight up with you. So I don't want nobody to think I've gone crazy here, but I'm just being honest with you. So if you're a police, you know you have to carry out your job as a professional at all times. You know what you signed up for as a police. You signed up to serve and protect. So that's your job. No matter how you feel about it, you have to separate your feelings from the people that you serve out there because you're going to run into all kinds of personalities out there. See, I have no sympathy myself. Even I use myself for example. If you catch me, if I decide to go get a gun and hurt somebody with it and I get caught, I need to accept anything and everything that comes my way. Do not go crying foul, T.O. You did it, you have to deal with it. Don't do the crime if you cannot do the time. You know what you signed up for. That's on every level, people. I just want to, it was a place on my heart to say this today because there's so many issues out there. Police are not always wrong. They're not always right. Guys on the streets are not always wrong, but they're not always right. But we know that people are being killed. They're beating up people downtown in big numbers now, just knocking them to the ground, stomping them out, beating up women, shooting. We've had over 250 people, young people under the age 15, shot in Chicago this year already. About 35 of them have been killed so far. So when people talking all this talk, what about the victims, Chicago and Cook County? All the legislators need to go to the valley, talk to the victims of crime before you push all these new policies out there. Talk to the people that have been hurt by the crime, the people, family members that have been killed out there, man. This is the real deal, man. The real deal, Holyfield. So I want to thank you all for tuning in today. T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman going against the grain. See you next Sunday. Talk to you. Peace.